Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night DeFi, the podcast where we explore everything notable during the past several weeks that happened in the domain of digital currencies, crypto, and DeFi. I am Igor Mikhalev, partner and head of emerging technologies at EY Parthenon.
And I'm Peter Bury, digital content creator at Blueshift.
So the first one is Bank of International Settlements, BIS, has reported that they will be initiating Project Icebreaker, as they call it. So it's the collaboration between central banks of Israel, Norway, and Sweden to work on an ecosystem, hub and spoke type of environment for remittance and payments use cases. What's interesting about it is that, again, it's a fairly concrete exercise. It is fairly clear how it's going to be organized. So I'm only hoping that it's going to be done quickly and it will show results very soon. So it works like this. You'll have a icebreaker hub which connects those three countries that I mentioned. And within every country, you have basically end users, you have retailers, you have FX providers on the side, which basically manage the FX exchange. And you have the central bank in every country that facilitates the process. Right. So presumably, by means of this process, we will have cross-border payments done on an efficient basis in terms of the FX. And in terms of the settlement finality and settlement speed, it will be fast and cheap.
I'm interested to find out and learn exactly how much faster and how much cheaper it is. Because a lot of the blockchain technology and rolling out these CBDCs is all about efficiency and reducing costs within the business. So I'd love to know the numbers post rollout of some of this technology so we can see exactly how much of an efficiency they've reached.
This is a good point right there. You know, but this is an interesting one to unpack right now, because when I talked to various central bankers, many of them say, well, it is slow, but it's slow for a reason. It is dangerous to make it fast. So if it's going to be instant and fast, how are we going to be doing all the manual KYC and AML, anti-terrorist financing types of activities that are sitting in the pipeline right now and sometimes are managed by sort of exception or on exception basis? So all of this needs time to be kind of secure and sure. And if it becomes super fast, then, you know, the opportunity to act on it goes away, or the pressure to act on it in real time, right, really increases. And nobody wants it, actually, right? So it would be possible to do it quickly right now, perhaps, but more needs to be innovated along the value chain than meets the eye.
Oh, yes, you always forget about the KYC and AML. Side of things, and yes, if it was super fast, then I guess it will be an avenue and a door for money laundering, just to get that money moved across as quickly as possible. We do forget about that.
That's
sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. But hey, as we speak, central banks are looking at ways to algorithmically control and algorithmically provide oversight over what commercial banks are doing. So I'm hoping that during the course of several years, we'll have it solved. And we'll move from sort of paper-based reporting and manual processing and working hours type of processing more towards instant finality and algorithmic ways of checking with certainty.
Now, in some other news, NFTs. OpenSea implements a new protocol that ranks NFTs rarity. Now, I thought this one's quite interesting in that a lot of collectors in itself would be really interested in finding out the various NFTs from collections that are most rare and finding the ones that are priced considerably well so that they can have a better purchasing price for a resale afterwards. So this interesting move to bring in the rarity ranking system on OpenSea is quite a good one to be able to give those collectors those tools that they need to be able to do things like this.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool because I just remember a couple of days ago you explained what rarity means in the world of algorithmic calculations over an NFT collection, right? So in this case, it's quite clear. So you have taxonomy of properties, and then taxonomy of properties gets looked at, and then you can define which combinations are the rarest ones, which is an interesting way of ranking the, well, presumably art piece that you have there or unique piece that you have there. Versus others, right? As opposed to a human's unique look at how a certain piece of art is unique or not. So that's pretty cool, and it's good to see that type of development.
And it's interesting that they're trying to make a standard for this rarity so that all different marketplaces and all different projects would have a standard to work against. at the moment, different projects, different marketplaces rank things slightly differently. So it's really hard to gauge what type of rarity is this really rare. I'm going to one marketplace and it's not as ranked the same as other ones. So it's interesting that this standard is coming out into place for projects and for the marketplaces itself. In other news, UNICEF Giga NFTs to connect schools in developing countries to internet. So this is a little project that it maps schools and ensures their connectivity through Project Connect, and created a novel fundraising initiative with NFT public sales raising around 240 ETH, which is an incredible amount of money. Is it valued at $700,000 US? Great initiative there to raise that funds that is greatly needed to create that connectivity for these schools in the developing nations. And with that lead-in of connectivity, the internet, they can educate themselves, raise themselves out of poverty. So it's a very interesting play there, and a really novel way of using NFTs as a fundraising mechanism. I'd love to see a lot more of this, and a lot more used in this philanthropic way to raise funds for causes like this.
Kudos here for this type of approach. Definitely being able to create societal impact through sale of NFTs is something that we need to see more.
Yes. Yes, but we'll probably need to also mention that since January this year, the volume of NFT trading volume in general has plummeted by 98%. Yes, NFTs are rising in adoption and being quite popular, but we also have to keep in mind that the volume of sales is dropping dramatically. So was it a fad? We're not sure. Hopefully they come back, and this fundraising mechanism is still viable in the future for a lot of projects.
Well, surely. Well, NFTs and, the price discovery there is so much driven by the consumer, the investor sentiment. And nowadays, as we see, investors are surely concerned and looking at safer types of assets. So, well, I think it's only natural to see this hype subsiding. And hopefully we will see more interesting developments in the future once the dust settles and new use cases emerge and composable NFTs, rarity of NFTs, and so forth becomes widely accepted as a means of ranking them and means of dealing with them. And the last piece here is the DeFi-related news. So European Stock Exchange will be listing a Bitcoin-based carbon-neutral ETP, which is exchange-traded product, on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. What is interesting about it is that, of course, as you know, Bitcoin is not carbon-neutral. It's rather harming your polar bear and other creatures in a way that are unimaginable. But these guys that decided to create this company and get it listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, they have made sure that they will be offsetting the carbon footprint of all Bitcoins that are sold or invested in with a different company. So there is a company that provides a sustainable and climate-friendly service, and basically they will give your exposure, they'll give you exposure to Bitcoin, and at the same time they will pay this other company to offset the carbon footprint. And like this you can feel good because it's a carbon neutral type of investment, and of course you will pay a little bit of a premium on top to be friendly to the environment. What do you think?
The amount of energy that Bitcoin uses to mine and validate the chain is humongous.
SMX, right?
It chews up as much as various countries in the world. I don't know what the rankings are at the moment, but last count was the same amount as the entirety of Malaysia, and that's a huge amount of power. That electricity could be used for something else. It's validating a very valuable asset class, but could that be reduced in some sort of way dramatically, and then have that electricity used productively elsewhere?
It doesn't look like something you want to invest in or something you want to support. But honestly, when I talked not so long ago to Bitcoin Core developers, they are almost proud of this proof of work, and they say, hey, that's the only true way of doing consensus, and they were not going to back out and do anything else anywhere soon. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the demand for positive societal impact and lack of exposure and negative externalities to the environment will change anything in this equation. But so far, as you see, some of the companies are trying to figure out all the quirky ways of dealing with that.
And I have one more piece here around the metaverse, and this is Walmart stepping into the metaverse. So the American retail giant is taking its first step into this landscape with Walmart Land and Walmart's universe of play on Roblox. So this is an interesting one. They're having that immersive experience. They have physics-defying Ferris wheels, unlockable tokens, badges, interactive environments, DJ booths, and all sorts of fun that you can have in a metaverse, as well as what they call virch instead of merch, virtual merchandise, all those bits and pieces in there. So I don't know what this experience is going to be like. It's probably something I'm going to have a little play around with just to see what the experience is like so I can compare it to other metaverse plays. I don't know what the uptake of this one will be. Would it be a flop? Is it something they'll just have on the side? Will they be heavily promoting it or something? It's an interesting move into there, but they've also filed patents in this space as well. So they're looking to, yeah, exactly. So they're looking to move into this space and cement themselves in there with some leading edge ideas. So I don't know what it will look like, but it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
You know, what stands out to me is that you can see some of the established players, some of the incumbents trying to get into the metaverse space with, let's say, brick and mortar type of mentality. Honestly, I'm not so convinced about that. You know, would anybody need Walmart per se and, you know, the existing sort of physical setup replicated in the metaverse? I'm not so sure. So I would say it's all about the discovery of how the new generation interaction will work in the metaverse and building new world there, as opposed to just trying to, exactly as you said, cement the brick and mortar approaches that worked in the physical world. I think this is a bit naive, but maybe those moves are, you know, the exploratory move that still need to happen anyway.
I feel like they do have to explore it. They do have to play around with the ideas and concepts, spend the money, see what sticks, see what works, and then relaunch again if they need to in the future.
Surely. But spend the money, Walmart.
It's a wait and see. Spend the money indeed, and make some money off their customers with new virch coming through their metaverse as well. So we'll see what happens. So that's it for another episode of Late Night DeFi. You can find this podcast episode on YouTube and anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast. Please give us a rating review and give us some feedback there. We always love to hear from you. But until next time, bye.
Bye.